this.
The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arts Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.
Hi, welcome one and all to another episode of the DL Debate. We've got a packed show in store as ever. We'll be reviewing the Hurling Championship with Setanta landing back-to-back titles. Paul Campbell will be on the line talking to us about all the action. From the Junior Championship, St Mary's Convoy have taken the title. Barry Meehan will be joining us to discuss the action from a wet McCool Park from yesterday. And also joining me is Decky Bogue for a roundup across Ulster. But the big news, of course, today is GAA action has been suspended. The GAA Management Committee has paused all club fixtures with immediate effect until further notice. And this leaves huge uncertainty, of course, not only for our club final, which was to come up this Sunday, but also the inter-county season. And I'm looking through the glass here at Oisin Kelly. Oisin, your thoughts on the statement and where things lie now?
Well, Brendan, in a way, it's no big surprise. We did fear this was going to happen. We didn't think it would be so soon today. Like, the announcement was made just after lunchtime. It was all dependent on which sort of level we were going to go to, and would the entire country go level 3 plus or 4 plus or 5. But what we do know now is that the Donegal Senior Football Final will not take place this coming Sunday. That's fact, because as of today, all club activity across the country has been halted until further notice. Will we be able to get the county final played down the line? We'll have to wait and see if Kilcare and Eve Conan will be able to meet. But it's no surprise that this has happened, but it is a major disappointment that has happened as well, Brendan.
Yeah, and obviously there was rumours about this coming in, and there was talk then maybe if there was a day planned that that there would be a lockdown, that the county final could possibly be pulled forward and get played. But as it happens, Oisin, it's come in from immediate effect, so it totally leaves everything up in the air.
That's what you would have been hopeful, that maybe the government might announce this evening or tomorrow that we were going to level 4 or 11.5, maybe on Thursday or Friday, and it would be for the entire country, and Donegal GAA would have possibly been able to pull the game forward. But that's not going to happen. And we can talk about possibility this and a possibility that. There's going to be no possibilities, Brendan, as things stand. This county final between Kilcare and Eve Connell is not going to take place, which is, again, we understand the reasons for this. So we understand that that why these COVID restrictions are brought in, and it's for the safety of everybody in the country. And we totally understand that. But there's the other side, that you've got a frustration and a disappointment. And maybe the most frustration and disappointment is going to be with the Kilcare and the Eve Connell clubs today, that this county final is not going to happen. There is the worry over inter-county football as well, Brendan. In the coming weeks, Donegal, of course, were to start their league against Tyrone, or resume the league against Tyrone, rather, then go to Kerry. Under COVID restrictions, is a county team and the Associated Press from each county going to be allowed to travel from one end of the country to the other in the second last weekend of October for the final league game? You've got the championship coming up in November. So there probably is now a huge doubt hanging over the inter-county scene as well off the back of today's decision.
Yeah, Oisin, I'm sure you'll get reaction from the county board and their thoughts on that going forward. And yeah, everything's up in the air now. We just wait and see where things lie around, as I say, that big county final, which of course was delayed. The reason it wasn't played on Sunday was because of issues around COVID. So we wait and see what happens. We'll turn our attention back to the weekend's action here in Donegal and the Junior Championship. Now, 25 years ago, I won the Junior Championship with Niamh Colum-Kill, and you know, I suppose time flies on quick. We already have a bit of a reunion night, and I suppose with the current COVID situations and all them things is on, we might have to wait for 50 years. But it just got me thinking back, I suppose, to people wonder how all that came about. You know, playing me St Junans, playing me Niamh Colum-Kill. I suppose, firstly, growing up in Newton, the first place I played Gaelic actually was with Cú Chulainns in Derry. I used to be on their summers with my cousin Ricky Devlin. There was no under 10s in Gaelic, or no coaching, or no camps, or no nothing. So that's the first place I got to play. Brilliant time in the street leagues and blitzes in there. Still friends to this day, some of them Cú Chulainns lads, you know. Niamh Baithen was the team then in Newton Cunningham. We would have played in any Shone League and any into the Eastern Division. And under 16s, I suppose, around that time the club folded, and I had been in school at St Junans and was friends with all the Unions boys. So I naturally just went playing with St Unions. We had a couple of epic years, you know. We got into a minor final the first year. We lost to Ballyshannon. We go back into the same minor final next year. Again, it was Ballyshannon. And we managed to win that one. I managed to hang a goal late in the second half. And brilliant times. We went all the way to an Ulster final, unfortunately coming up short against the Loop. So, you know, Niamh Colin Kill started up again with the brilliant Decky McFarlane, a Garda based in Kerrigan's. And, you know, my dad was involved, and I'd finally started listening to what my dad was telling me. Sorry, Dad, it took a long time. But, you know, Decky created such a buzz down there. We won, as I say, 25 years ago, we won the Junior Championship, and brilliant times. You know, we played in the Sevens up in St. Jude's, some of the best weekends of my life, to be honest. Great, great lads. You know, we won the fourth division in the second year and went up to Division 3. And, you know, I'd said to Decky, he was like, give us a year, baby, give us a year. And I says, I'll play two, but I wanted to go back to play with that under 21 team that I'd played at St. Eunan's. But, you know, going into Division 3, I didn't want to leave then. And as I say, at the time, the boys would have been a lot of soccer in that, you know, Ulster Senior. It was a lot every year to play all winter and play in the summer. I know it's different now, you know, Niamh Colin Kill and most Gaelic teams are Gaelic first. It was different times then. So after we got relegated, I went to England for most of the year, and I came back to St. Eunan's, and I landed out at the park, and Mickey Houston asked who was I and did I think I was good enough to play senior. I says, I hope so. He says, are you a forward or a back? I says, I'm a forward. He says, well, thank God for that. He says, we've nothing but backs here. So we hadn't won a championship at St. Eunan since 83. We won it that year, 97. And, you know, very exciting stuff for me. It was brilliant to be back and at St. Eunan. So I to and fro'd a bit, but, you know, that season I'd never really played underage for Donegal. I went straight under the Donegal team, you know, played at Croke Park, got into the Ulster final. And by the end of that season in October, I started for Ireland against the Aussie rules. Myself, Peter Canavan, and Dermot McCabe was a full forward line. So it was quite an 18 months in my life, roller coaster stuff. So I often say that the young lads now, it doesn't matter growing up where you're positioned or what happens, things can always turn out well for you, and they certainly did for me. But that was them 25 years, and now 25 years on, St. Mary's Convoy are the junior champions, and well deserved. A brilliant performance yesterday, and I have Barry Meehan on the line to discuss the action. Barry, you got dried up after the game yesterday. You were part of the stream team watching a memorable victory. You know, a lot of people said it was very hard to call pre-game, but you know, after the scoreline, you know, you've obviously Downing's coming down from intermediate, both Division 2 teams. I mean, it was to be a finely balanced game, but it was anything but.
Yeah, listen, I think Convoy were definitely the more well-polished team yesterday, Brenton. You know, even at the start, they were, like, at the first water break, they were 4-1 up, and, you know, they seemed to be pretty much in control at that stage. You know, even after Downing's had a couple of kick-outs, you know, where they'd gone long and they'd found Larkin O'Connor, and then Convoy pressed up, and, you know, they got a lot of change out of that there in the middle of the field then. And then, you know, really from the water break on, it was all Convoy. And, you know, they were really fantastic in that their second quarter, kicking two great goals, you know. One, I know there was a bit of few errors and a bit of a ricochet, but listen, you got to get the ball in the back of the net on a day like that there. And, like, there was four Convoy men against two Downing's men in the edge of the parallelogram, you know, for that goal. And then the big high ball in on top of Paddy Mealy for the second goal, you know. Listen, Downing's were very, very impressive even in that period. You know, they were very aggressive and disciplined in their defending, and on the other side of the pitch, you know, they were able to find pockets easier than Downing's were. You know, they were able to bypass the Downing sweeper, you know, so listen, they can be very pleased. You couldn't see a way back for Downing's at half time, to be honest, Brendan. You know, we were just chatting, you know, yesterday it looked pretty tough for them, you know, 2-6 to 2 points at half time.
Yeah, listen, it was hard to believe what we were seeing. And special word to Joseph McGill, 9 points in the semi-final, and then he backed it up with 1-6 yesterday and a man-of-the-match performance.
Yeah, listen, 6 points from freeze and one from a penalty. And again, you know, that doesn't even tell the story of Joe McGill's performance. You know, he was outstanding, even his general play. You know, he did a lot of work inside. But, you know, when you look at Convoy's team in general, I thought a lot of them really stood up, especially around the middle of the park. I thought Paddy Mealy was outstanding. And Lawrence McMullen, you know, a man that has really, really, you know, waited a long, long time for this championship. He put in a massive shift in the middle. Peter Blake was very good, and along with Joe McGill inside you, John Toy and Paddy Dolan, who were excellent. And then in the back line, you know, you John McKee and Brian McNamee were very, very good as well. You know, so it really was an all-round performance from Convoy. And I think, you know, the hurt that they've experienced over the last number of years, you know, they went to the bank yesterday and they drew on that there and got over the line, you know, so they'll be very happy with that.
Yeah, history was made. Listen, fantastic stuff. You say going way back to 2005, and of course, Lawrence, who interviewed after, there's a few players tied into that, the likes of Big Packy as well, and fantastic, and, you know, really creating history there. Just on Downing's, you know, they went up last year and gave you a bit of a game, Barry, and you were going well at the time. Could you believe yesterday, like, how poor they were? Where's the future now for that team?
Yeah, listen, suppose you think, like, you remember that game last year down in Mount Charles, like, they rattled the crossbar in the last couple of minutes, Lark and Connor did, and, like, they nearly got a draw out of that game, and, you know, probably we didn't put them away that day when we should have, you know, but suppose yesterday, I think, you know, maybe I think Convoy got their matchups right yesterday, you know. I think Martin Connor and Johnny McGrady were kept very quiet. Keelan McGrady at midfield was kept very quiet by Dean Bonner, you know. And I think, you know, Downey's never really had a platform to get going. And, you know, and listen, they'll go back to the drawing board. And I think even, you know, looking back, Downey's didn't have too many regional league performances where they were tested against tougher teams. Where Convoy did. Convoy got tested against St Union, they got tested against Aroo, they got tested against Bundoran. You know, these are senior teams where Convoy, I think, only had one regional game. And suppose for teams coming out of junior level and looking to really excel, you know, those games against senior clubs you know, they stand to those teams, you know, while they might not be wanting them, you know, they're learning an awful lot from them. And suppose I think, you know, Downing's looking at this now, they'll be thinking, you know, next year, Division 2, you know, it's an absolute, really, really competitive division. And they'll be looking to try and stay in Division 2. And listen, if they can stay in Division 2, they're going to be well battle-hardened for the Junior Championship next year, you know. So I think that there's going to be their focus. They'll be disappointed, listen, with yesterday. I think, you know, they just didn't perform to the capabilities of what they feel they can, but listen, there'll be other days for Downings as well.
There will indeed, Barry, and listen, thanks so much for rounding that up and for your input all year in the junior and intermediate. It's been fantastic, Barry, and you know, two players interviewed after the match. Interviewed Lawrence McMullen, of course, had a great game himself on the pitch, obviously orchestrated all this, and you know, he really relayed to the help in the background and everyone that had that input, and the same from Michael Patton, a cornerback that I interviewed straight away. He talked about the squad, and that's what successful squads do. And as I say, I caught up with the two lads after the game. First of all, we'll hear from Michael Patton. I'm here in McCool Park with victorious cornerback of St Mary's Convoy, Michael Patton. Michael, we've been joking myself and yourself this last few years. You've been telling me there's a championship in this team, and we've been saying this is your year. Well, 2020 finally is your year.
We've trained hard over the last couple of years, and you know, it's always there. We've kind of fell short maybe a couple of years, and it's hard to bounce back, you know, 3 years in a row, the semi-final, and hard to bounce back this year. And with the way things went, like, look, there's a squad of 35-40 men, and you don't see it today because of the conditions or whatever, but like, it's great to see it. And there's boys pushing on as well that you don't see behind the scenes. You have to respect everybody. Like, everybody's pushing hard, everyone's doing well. It's glad to get it, and We're getting more moving now.
You know, Michael, a lot of people couldn't call this game before the match. Downing's come in unbeaten. You're both two Division 2 teams. They come down from intermediate. Yeah. I mean, can you believe what happened today? I know 3-10 is very impressive, but defensively from yourselves as well, they only concede 1-3. Yeah. It was a remarkable game in terms of the complete performance from yourselves.
Exactly. Look, we've worked hard in defending. Like, you know, sometimes it's not pretty defending and large parts of the game, like, but look, our defence, we've done well. All right, the boys up the pitch, Joseph McGill, Paddy Dolan, Peter Blake chipping them with points. Everybody's chipping away at points. Defence is working as hard as well. Like, them boys are working as hard. You can see the likes of them forwards. They work back, they get the ball, we go again. That's just the process of it. That's the way we're taught. And fair play to Lawrence. He's been doing that for 3-4 years now, and it's coming together eventually. So
Yeah, he might have a bit of McGinnis playbook in the background there. And just looking at Joe McGill before you go, there's loads of supporters outside. Everybody, yes. Nobody's allowed in, which is such a pity, Michael. But just a word about Joe, you know, his performance today. 9 points the last day, 1-6 a day. Have you been sharpening him up in training? Is that what it is?
Look, he's been kept on his toes at training from me and from a couple of other fellas too. But look, there's plenty, there's fight there. There's a lot of boys in the forward line that could start. Look, there's obviously a lot of boys on the bench too that didn't get starting. They came on, they showed, they chipped in with a couple of points. Keenan Gillen came off the bench. He was injured for majority of the season. He came off the bench. He won us a penalty today. You know, it didn't really show much in the end up with the scoreline, but look, he came on, he worked hard, he got a penalty. That's the way of things. Boys are pushing everybody else on, and there's a squad there that, look, everybody's looking to play football, and it's good. So.
I mean, I think teams have gone up into intermediate and they've done well. Red Hughes, they've come killed recently. I think looking at this team, Michael, the age range of it, you're in a good position to go up and really push on.
Oh, definitely. Look, there's a lot of young boys there even coming through that didn't get game time today as well. Like, and majority of the team, bar maybe a couple of boys in midfield, the likes of Packy, Lawrence, there are a couple of older boys.
Packy getting on about it, so.
I would say the legs are starting to get to him. But look, there's people there saying that the likes of Remy McNamee is getting old and stuff. There's still loads of football left in them boys. You know, there's still, you look at Lawrence McNamee there, or Lawrence McMullen there, playing away. There's no reason why the rest of us can't do it.
So. Fair play, enjoy the night, Michael. All the best. I'm here with Lawrence McMullen, victorious player manager of St Mary's Convoy. Sum up your feelings.
That's fantastic, Brian. You know, I've been playing 23 years in junior football. I thought I got a life sentence back in the day. But look, it's fantastic for the club and these young boys here to try and build on that going forward. Just great feeling to be after 15 years. I thought we'd be minimum before that, but thankfully we played great stuff today, and you know, we nullified their sets and we got the goals at the right time. And goals on a bad day, a real bad day, changes games, and that was the difference today.
Yeah, that tie-in back 2005, was it? There was two or three involved from that time in today's setup.
Myself, Liam, and Nets, and Packy were three from then, but started then again. So, okay, and Connor was a player too. Connor McDermott and Paul Lynch on the management team. So, five or six of us linked to the team from 2005.
Yeah. So you bring huge experience from Convoy, but of course you're involved with Donegal and the backroom team. All that experience looked like it was brought in there today. Lawrence, a perfect performance for me in terms of, like, you scored 3-10 on a bad day, only concede 1-3. You must be very pleased.
I'd let you. We've been doing a lot of work, and as you said, look, Jim McGuinness brought me in 2011 along with the first kind of the batch. I was involved in the backroom team here, and you know, I learned a lot from that day, and then I was involved with Maxi and Francie, and we got the three Ulster finals and 3 years in a row, and unfortunately not to at least win one of them. And that experience there, you know, playing at a higher level or coaching a higher level, and you see the quality, and I try to bring that to the boys. I've been coaching these young boys here since 2011. We won on a 13 double. Brian was the captain back then too. I know they're used to one. They've won all the way up. They've beaten a few finals, but they've always been getting the finals, and they have that pedigree, and you know, are able to play at a higher level and used to playing against good teams. And we're just with a mix now of older players and Packy back and, you know, from Harps, and it's mixed a wee bit of experience there in the team, you know.
Yeah, and going into intermediate football next year, the boots are staying on the feet anyway. You're not going to go full time on the line. There's another year in you.
I had a few years left yet, I think. I'll do my best to try and stay on our year. I spent too long in Division 4, so look, we're in Division 2 now, and intermediate football, and that's where we want to be. And that's, you know, this is 4 years now. Me and Paul's been managing. Paul Lynch there, he's, you know, my right hand man really since 2011, and, you know, he puts a massive lot of work in too, and needs to, you know, deserves applause too for being there every day of training. You know, he's always there and good man for the club and doing everything for it. So just want to thank Paul too for his contribution, you know.
Yeah, great to get the feedback from the Convoy boys, and that was letting Paul go there. The crazy situation of not being able to get a shower after the match, my God. But now we turn our attention and say to the hurling final and our hurling correspondent, Paul Campbell. Paul, you're champions again, man, back to back. You got the ball rolling there last year. You handed over the reins to Gary, and you've come up to trumps. You know, I called you in the intro there, the unstoppable force. And listen, Paul, having seen you play three times this season, I didn't see any team really get near you. I know the scoreline suggests that the game, you know, 6 points, but let's be honest, at half time 113 to 5 points is probably more a fair reflection of where the game was at on Saturday.
It was luck here. You know, I said to you before the game, luck here, it's going to be the first 10-15 minutes of the game, so Santa will have to come out a wee bit hard, and which they did. You know, if they get into a battling session with unions in the first 10-15 minutes, it could be a dogfight right to the end, you know. And they started off very well. Gary made a big call before the game. Like, he dropped his own son, Conor McGerrigan, and he started Mark Devine, which, you know, I thought it was the right move to do. And it worked. You seen Mark Devine the first 10, 15 minutes, he was on fire. Like him and Davin were on fire up front. And sort of after 20 minutes, the game was put to bed.
Yeah, and just looking in from Paul from the outside there, obviously champions at 17. How was the final lost in 18? I'm just looking around the teams in Donegal, you know, in terms of, have you stepped it up that bit again this, you know, in the last two seasons? Or how come that title in between was lost?
Well, I was down to a bit of sledging from board and a bit of bad referee, and they lost two men in the first 20 minutes. Two very dubious red cards. And Bert, look here, 13 against 15, you know, especially if you're playing Bert, they can manage the game out very well. We nearly caught them at the end, if we had another 5 minutes, we would have caught them, but, you know, we lost Davin Flynn in the first 10 minutes, you know, which was a serious, serious loss to us, you know.
Yeah.
And, as I say, 13 to 15 against Bert.
Do you know what, and thanks, Paul, listen, I don't mind saying it this year, you know, for years I've been covering, you know, it's nearly all been county football, so it's been great with the show this year, getting back and seeing hurling matches and getting a good feel for it. You know, it's amazing how much from the start of the season now, from talking to the fellas like yourself and going to games, you're still getting a good feel of what's happening in the county, more in the different levels of football around as well. That's interesting. And tell me, Gary was quoted after the game talking about, I suppose, that same thing, you know, that this team has the potential to go on and win many titles together now, Paul.
Well, look here, I'd be surprised. Look, just sitting looking at the game there, and Unions probably are the big rivals there now at the minute, but really, whenever you look at the game, I would call maybe three of our backs played up to par, you know, Mark Callaghan, Denham Roan and Danny Cullen. The two midfielders played up to par. Michael Donoghue had a fantastic game in the middle of the field. He kept Sean McVeigh scoreless, you know, kept Sean very quiet. And up front, we really only maybe three forwards that played up to par, which would have been Jared Gilmore, Davin Flynn and Mark Devine. You know, so that's six players that didn't play up to par, and they still had a very comfortable one. Plus, they only played for about 40 minutes. So really, if you got that Satanta team playing for the 60 minute and 14, 15 and playing up to par, they're going to like cruise any other team in the county. Like, and probably, look here, it's a big speak, but if you fit the rest of the county and play them, it will be a real good game.
The other
five clubs. And look here, I'm not bumming their loads.
No, listen, Paul, that's
where they're at. Yeah. Like, but we're at for Bort, we're at sort of 15, 20 years ago. Look, if you put the county against Bert 15, 20 years ago, Bert would probably have beat them. And Satanta's probably sitting in the same place there now at the minute.
Yeah. And, you know, Declan Calder's speech, he spoke very well at the end, Paul. He obviously had a mention for yourself and the work that he put in, and now how Gary's carried on that torch. It was nice of him. It was a good speech, you know, and there seemed to be a real good buzz in the squad and with the team of Satanta.
There is, like, and you've probably seen at the end there, they brought on two minors. You know, Rory Campbell and young Dean Harvey. You know, they're minors. Them boys are probably going to be starting next year, and we have another clux of minors coming through the year after. And the team's only going to strengthen up. I know we're going to lose a couple of old heads. You know, the likes of, you know, Sam McManaman and Kevin's only a couple of years left on them and stuff like that. But see the replacements for them boys. They're even better hurlers. You know, so the team is going to improve over the next couple of years. And look, as Gary said in the interview, I listened to Gary's interview, you know, we are looking at the start of the year. The intermediate, we're caught by Kitty last year and the intermediate clubs. We were 5 or 6 points up with 4 or 5 minutes to go, and we were caught in the last 5 minutes. And, you know, we had our eye in the intermediate championship last year in Ulster, and Gary had it on there this year. But next year, hopefully, if it goes ahead, them boys will give the intermediate championship and Ulster a real good rattle. You know, they're that good. Like,
isn't it a pity, Paul, that's not there for them this year? Paul, see, in terms of that intermediate championship, just in terms of Ulster then, has everybody at that level, you know, we always often think, of course, to the likes of Antrim and different counties there that, you know, have big, big pedigree in hurling. Has everybody got into that intermediate, and where does Donegal usually stand in that intermediate setting?
Well, you know, unless you won an Ulster title, you know, a junior title, we won an Ulster junior title there a couple of years ago, so we had to step up to intermediate, and you have to stay up there for 3 years of an intermediate before you can get back down to junior. But now the club had made the call there at the start of the year. We could have stepped down to junior, but we wanted to represent an intermediate because we thought we could do better in intermediate, you know. So you know yourself, you want to play at the highest levels you can. So, you know, you know what I mean, stepping up to intermediate, and that would have left the losers of the county final in St Junan's would have been playing in the junior championship. You know, so look, this was that, but you know, you've got the likes of Derry. Derry's beaten semi-finals represents and intermediate, so you're chatting the likes of, you know, Lavi or Swatra, them real good hurling clubs in Derry representing the intermediate, you know, and you've got the likes of Dungannon and Tyrone, you know, which is a very, very good club, you know, and you're coming up, you know, you're playing real good standard of hurling whenever you're up with that intermediate. So look, that's where the club wants to be at, and maybe push on and win one of them intermediate titles.
Yeah, and listen, I've seen Mr. McCann up doing a bit of co-com with Highland at the game. Is there anything for him, Paul, you think going forward? Is it back to the old stalwarts for Donegal's hurling campaign now going into this season?
Well, look, Mickey's a good boy, like, and he was probably watching there yesterday, and he'd probably seen Mark Devine. I know Mark was on the panel there last year, and he pulled off just due to commitments and that, but, you know, if he was fit to, you know, man manage Mark, and the likes of Michael Dunne, who's a big bonus there for Donegal. You know, Michael's sort of commented there last year in the county panel, and he's only bedding in, and Michael will be a big midfielder for Donegal, you know, this year. And, you know, the likes of Mark Callaghan, you know, Mark would, you know, Mark was very close to the running for man of the match, him and Davin there, and that game there at the weekend. And, you know, Mark never really got his chance in that county first 15 on a cornerback, and you know, I'm sure he'll be looking, well, look here, I have to give him a chance. And but he'll be looking at St Junan as well. Like, you've Sean McVay, Kevin Keeley, like, Kevin had a very good game. Like, he scored, what, 2-1 or 2-2? You know, a very, very good game. And he'll be looking at the whole lot of them. Young McIntyre there, I know he hadn't a good game on at the weekend, but the previous weekend, like, he was a serious wee hurler. And, you know, he'll be looking at all them, you know, young fellas, you know, sort of to look at them to pull through and maybe bleed a team for the county to, for the next 3 or 4 years. You know, you can play all your best players that are sort of going past it, but you have to blood the new fellas coming through and give them a chance. And I'm sure Mickey's, you know, Mickey will be looking at it and he's going to do that, because it's not all about winning everything this year. It's about, you know, planning for the 3 or 4 the long term and saying about, look here, we're going to win something and get up and stay up.
Yeah, well, you know, Satanta have certainly raised the bar, and it's up to St Junan's and everybody else in the mix there to come back and chase them. It's what's going to make our county team better and make our game better. New teams in this year as well, Paul. Great to see in the hurling. And, of course, the junior champions are Cairn Donagh. They defeated Dunloe in a tight game. It was a curtain raiser, 2-13 to 2-11 in O'Donnell Park. You caught a bit of action there, Paul. Good game.
I caught the second half of it. A great game, a real good... you know, I could have went either way. There was goal chances for both teams in the last 5 or 10 minutes. And look, if Cairn had a good beat, you'd have said, look here, it was an injustice. Cairn were caught in the hop there last year in the last couple of minutes by Ballyshannon. And if it had happened this year again, it would have been an injustice. But Dunloe had their chances. You know, they hit the crossbar. The Cairn keeper pulled off a great save in the last couple of minutes. But a real ding-dust game. And again, Mickey, you know, probably looking at that game too, and there's probably 3 or 4 boys on each team that I could be seriously considering to pull on to the panel. I know Chucky's on there, but, you know, there's a couple of boys there from Dunloe, you know, real good hurlers, and, you know, they could push on to county standard, and that'll only help them. If you have 2 or 3 county players on a junior team, it'll bring the standard up within the club. You know that yourself there, look here. Just, you know, if you have 2 or 3 county footballers within a club, it brings the standard up. They drag the standard up from the rest of the players, you know, and you know, hopefully, you know, Mickey, I'll pick a couple of them boys from each club, and I'd like to see Dunloe pushing on, and I'm sure they will push on next year. You know, they'll be going into that junior championship hot favourites now next year, I would say.
Yeah, good.
And now I was chatting to a few of the Cairn ones after, and they're going to stay up into senior next year.
Good.
Which is a good thing, you know, they play at the highest standard, you know, which is always the best way to go.
Yeah, you'll bring them on. As long as you boys go easy on them next year, that's the thing.
Our boys will go easy and nobody, you know that yourself.
Well, listen, I have to say, listen, as we read up the hurling championship, thanks so much. As I say, I met you over in the first game at the cross there, and since then you've given us great input and give us a breakdown across the board, and I want to really appreciate that. Paul, for your help this season.
Not a bar, Brenton. Hey, thanks a million. And come here, a big thanks for the big promotion of the hurling this year. You know,
not at all.
It's great to hear hurling on Highland Radio, you know, and one's chatting about it there every week for there whenever there's games on, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, we'll do our best, Paul. And listen, as I said at the start, the man you handed over the baton to, Gary McGettigan, I got a quick word with him after the game, and he's up next.
I'm here in the Donald Park with senior championship winning manager Gary McGettigan. Gary, I spoke to you at the very first game of the season up in Setanta Park. I'm not surprised we're here again now. You're county champions, a great experience.
Oh, Bren, that's absolutely brilliant for us. Like, you know, sort of lost words a minute here, but boys worked hard for it. Like, I know we probably won the game more convincingly there than the scoreline suggests at the end, but just we would have took a 1.1 before the day, so we're absolutely delighted with it.
Yeah, Gary, it was 113-5 at half time. I know Union's got a late goal and a point at the end, but just were in control basically throughout the game. Anytime they got a bit of a run, you responded in kind.
Ach, we probably did. Aye, look, Union's were always going to get a run at us. There is a bit of a breeze blowing here, like, so the Union's had the breeze in the second half and they probably pushed up a bit on us, so we'll not worry too much about it at the minute, but when we sit back looking at it, we probably invited them on this in the last 10 minutes, but sure, look, yeah. We'll not worry about that tonight.
Yeah, yeah, listen, there were some superb scores in the game. I felt probably that Josh's goal at the start of the second half was the killer score that really put the game beyond Union.
It's probably similar to last year. Every time they started creeping back on us, we got a goal at the right time, and that, you know, that just kills their momentum, like, and you know, lifts us, like, so. We got the scores at the right time, but just thank God, I suppose.
And of course, first year in championship, no Ulster, unfortunately, which would be great to go in and test your wit there, because you have been the unstoppable force in Donegal. No one's been able to match you, so it's a pity now you can't test yourself in Ulster.
Oh, it is, because like we won Ulster Junior in 2017, then we didn't win the title in 18, but when we won it last year and back in the intermediate, and we probably thought we were well prepared for it, but it was probably a wee step ahead of us, like, so. At the start of the year when we met, that would have been our aim, to retain our title and give Ulster Intermediate a rattle, but unfortunately it hasn't worked out to get, but there's always next year.
Always next year, thoroughly deserved. Gary, well done on your championship victory.
And now I'm delighted to say we're going to have a trip around Ulster, and I'm joined by the big man from the Belfast telly, it's Deggy Bogue.
Hi, Brian.
What's a crack day. Deggy, I know you do, you work for a few outlets and papers and online, so you're a busy man.
Not so much at the moment, because there's no damn all happening. A lot of people during this period, my working life and my life is retracting, like, an awful lot of it. So it's like the polar bear sitting in the ice cap and it's all melting around him. So I just keep boys like you sweet, you know, keep my profile up.
Listen, seeing as you're so close to the Clarks there in Dungannon, I'll pretend you didn't say there was nothing happening there. I'll let you away with that one.
Well, I mean, nothing happens in the wider scale of the workplace, like, you know, because it's all... There has been plenty happening that way. Like, I mean, you know, that whole thing of having the club at the height of the summer, was remarkable, turned into a remarkable summer on the field. And so much that is drawn to the fact is that you're not just spreading yourself thin and minding yourself at the club for what might come at county and all that. Most people that you talk to just are beaming about it and had a great time for themselves just being involved in one like team over a summer. It's been a real boon for the club culture as such, you know.
Yeah, I think I spoke to you previous, you know, you're on about Mahari beating Cross, which was remarkable. I think it was 82 was their last title, Dungannon Clark 64 years ago, Edinburgh in your own county 52 years, you know, you had Crossorlaw, the men from the Loch in yesterday's Cavan final, 48 years for them. It just seems a remarkable year in Ulster Club. The fact that the spotlight's been on it, and all these teams who have had such a time frame of barren out in the wilderness in terms of senior championship, has come back with a bang. I know we've had some of the stalwarts, like the Kilcoo, obviously won an 8 out of 9 in Down. Scotstown, of course, had an easy final one over Ballybay. And, you know, yesterday as well, the Derry championship, Sloughneil back, a team that looked unbeatable at Derry for a while, came back and easily beat Mara Felt yesterday. So it's been a brilliant championship. It's been brilliant to see the spotlight on it completely, Dick, without teams that are on All-Ireland runs or Super 8s being separate. Everybody's been playing basically at the one time.
And you know, you really have to just look at some of the stuff that was said by victorious winners and that. Say, for example, James McCarthy, I don't know the exact quote, I'm not quoting verbatim, but he said the time of his life, more or less, playing all summer at Ballymun. Because, and just using it, not even using James McCarthy's example, but I remember a couple of things, Johnny Cooper, it was brought up that, asked how many games did you get him at the club last year? He said, like, you know, two group stage championship game and a knockout game. You know, that was sort of, that it would be the goal rate for a lot of Dublin footballers. Like, I mean, it's not accepted in other counties. I mean, for example, last year, Kilku played 26 domestic games in their championship and league, and county players were available for 22 of them.
Yes.
And you could ask yourself, you know, Down aren't winning all Ireland, Dublin are. But which is the richer and stronger football culture prevalent in? And I think most people would say they would prefer to have a system where you have in Down, where players played for the actual clubs that brought them up and so on. Getting away from the romance, I mean, that was another thing completely elevated summer. But there can be no doubt that people kind of pushing for a split season, county one half and club the other half, you know, they would have the evidence of the last couple of months and the feel-good factor of that to back up a lot of their arguments. But what they're not taking into account is how a club league and club championship cannot be all crammed into half a year. It is not that neat. People need to be kind of careful what they're voting for or what they're considering, because any of the models that are out there basically are devaluing club leagues. And while that might be kind of par for the course or accepted in a lot of counties, in Ulster we're kind of, we'll be very strong on that now. We would like to see county players playing league football for the clubs in Ireland and so on.
Yeah, and Dick, just, I know you're based in Tyrone at the minute, and you know, between those two championships, I suppose, I think that Tyrone has been the championship for me in terms of the excitement of it. It's just, I mean, Logie was on last week talking about Clark's whole story. Every game was epic. It just seemed unbelievable that you would come through those amount of hurdles to win that title. And there was just something about the blood and thunder of that Tyrone championship. I mean, our own championship here, to me, has been poor, you know. It's too defensively orientated. And the bigger clubs are pushing that agenda, and it really makes it impossible for anybody to come through then. And I would have a real worry about our championship going forward in terms of how that's influencing Donegal then, particularly around defensive structures. Because if you continually put so many people back defensively, for a start, you're going to create issues at both ends of the pitch. But if you look at it, where's the McGee's replacements? Where's the likes of Carl Lacey's? Where's the likes of Paddy, the new Paddy McGrath? Where is our full back lines that's going to come through? They're not coming through, Dick, because if you pack a defence, no one has to be a good defender. They don't have to do that type of job. So then I think now it's affecting our county team. And that's why I looked across at Tyrone, and it looked like there were so many games in that championship that had everything.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. That's a good enough observation you're making. And you're looking at Tyrone. And I don't have the figures to hand exactly. But, I mean, you know, you look down through the last 10 years and there's been Cull Ireland, Trellick, Argyll Kieran in 2012, you know, the Trellick in 2015, you know, it just keeps getting one, but Kate Clahar one of the year, it just keeps getting one by different clubs every year. The idea of retain, it hasn't been on since the mid-noughties, since Carrick Moore's time. I think that was 04 and 03 and 04, I'm not sure. And the truth of it is that you're looking at maybe talents such as Lee Brennan. But Lee Brennan's not near any county squad. Like, he's not near the Tyrone squad. He didn't get a call up to go back into the panel or anything like that. You're looking at two different games of football, and you nearly have to accept that. Is you're saying, right, we play a certain way in the club style, So therefore, our county should reflect that. And a lot of managers won't do that. A lot of managers will literally have a style that they wish to stick to. But don't think all this style that you're talking about, these huge sort of theoretical defensive systems, I don't know if it's been entirely the case with the county over the last 3 years. Certainly been times, like, say, for example, St. Finn against Drone. Was it last year where they were excellent and very offensive and took the game to Tyrone and wiped them off the pitch that way? But I know what you're saying, where are the full back lanes, where's the man markers and so on, but that has harmed Tyrone too. There has been a lot of systematic type football played there, but I think this year was slightly different. I think that went across a lot of counties, and that maybe opened up new challengers for county championships, such as Elderly, such as Dungannon Clarks and Crusherlock. There was an element of just get the games on, play them, and we'll see sort of who wins out at the end. I mean, you know, you look at Ballymun, Brendan Haggis, their manager, and he said that we just concentrated on having fun this year, that there was no huge amount of strategy or fitness testing our tactical approach. It was just get out there and play football. Now, that's nice when you've got two small brothers and Phil and Dean Rock and James McCarthy. Like, it's an easy thing to say, but if you've got some of the best players in Ireland on your club team, then you're going to back yourself most times. There was a wee bit of that, you know, in other games, certainly with Crusherlock. Having said that, Edirne had met Derry Connolly in two previous finals, in the championship final, in 2018, and a league final last year. We went man for man with them and thought we beat them in a game of skill and kicking and all the rest. Fell badly short on both occasions. So what they did is, once they got a bit of a lead up ahead of half time in the Fermanagh final, shut back and just played counter attacking and just got their 3-4 points, whatever they got in the second half, and that was enough to get them through. So it was a different style. For me, it didn't make it any less intriguing or exciting. And possibly that was tied up in the romance of it, that Edirne hadn't won the championship since 1968. I don't know. I can't give you the defender.
Do you know what? I totally take your point on board. It's not that I think Tyrone have it all right. Not at all. I just meant this year's championship. I think Tyrone have been really plagued with this disease of blanket defence, which has gone through your club game and has ruined so many games of football as a spectacle. Ruined them for both sets of supporters. And ruin players' ability to evolve and to get better, to kick past, to play, to mark man to man. Listen, I totally get that. And see, if you're in a county final, Nick, and you haven't won it like Edirne in 52 years, as you told me, you know, I have no issue at all with that team in the second half going defensive. No issue with people putting in sweepers, but I think it's the mentality of attack first. You must be in attack first. That is what GAA is about. It's about attacking football. Now, at times, sweepers, defensive system, holding on to a lead, people are going to do that, and I wouldn't have any qualms with that. But I mean, in some games I've seen here in Donegal, where the ball's hopped in, the first team to win it, the other team retreats into 45. I mean, that to me is just is dismay. And
yeah,
it's
depressing.
Yeah, and listen, like, I'm going to bring out a white paper on it. That's what I'm going to do. I have to get this all down and get it off my chest, and where I think football's going and what I think, where it has to come from in terms of managers and how they interact with the coaches and chairman, and how they interact with the coaches and managers, and how there has to be a certain philosophy at the club, because, as I say, I think it's affecting so many of our young players too, in terms of what they're looking up to and where they want to go. And you've dropouts, you've so many factors in it, Dick, but it's certainly a conversation we need to have, because I just see it, you know, as people say, oh, they won, and put it down to a team winning a title, or they had to do it. No, they don't. They don't have to do it all season. As I said, again, I don't mind doing them in parts, and I think that is the main issue. We've got to encourage the skills of the game and playing the game properly to a point, and then your tactics must play a part in that. It can't be defence first, tactics number one.
Yeah, but when you say that, you know, when you're talking about a directive from chairman to managers and coaches at a county level, certainly that that doesn't really happen. Like, I mean, you know, I'd be amazed if that happens in more than one or two counties. Well, a chairman might have an in-depth conversation about how a team might play to a manager. Because it's a wee bit like the analogy of driving a car. I can drive a car, you can drive a car. But if I'm driving from here to Letterkenny and the engine blows up, I'll get out and I'll take a look. The engine will lift the bonnet, but I don't have a clue what I'm actually processing. I don't know what's going on. And for the most part, for like, you know, 90% of people, that's what football is and hurling is. They don't actually know what's going on, you know, or how to make a team play, how to actually bring them to a point where they're playing to a certain pattern, or they understand their tactical formation, stuff like that. So it's an interesting one.
I think counties very, very separate on it, Dick. The reason being is that counties can evolve because people will eventually demand it, and there's the skills of the game at that elite county level. You'll see, and we've seen it already with teams being able to open up teams that go blanket defence. And of course, yeah, I don't think county chairmen are in much of a position to dictate to a county manager that's come on, but club's very different, you know, in terms of there must be a philosophy at the club that the chairman can control. And I'm not telling him it's not that he tells the manager how to play, not at all. But the philosophy of the team going forward must be improvement. He must improve the young players. He must bring on the players in his team. And there must be an attack first philosophy. And at the end of the season, if the managers and the coaches and the chairman get together and go, listen, we don't want that type of football here. You know, either you're in next season and we bring on players, we encourage our youth, we evolve players, or we don't. And I think that chairman can take control, and it's club members we can take control. I mean, it's our club, it's our people. Why are we giving this over to these one-dimensional coaches that are ruining the game at all for me in all ways of looking at it? But you know, that's very much a club thing for me, Dick, and it's something I think is a conversation that needs to be had. And as I say, in that we've still had sprinklings of some brilliant stuff in the championships, you know, around Ulster. But I suppose from our own Donegal perspective, I just fear having seen, you know, particularly the top four play each other. And that's going to dictate then down the road. Like, you can't have a team that's outside the top four, maybe 5, 6, 7, coming in playing this fabulous, not that it has to be a fabulous brand of football, or this out and out attacking brand of football. If a team goes ultra defensive, unless sometimes you've seen Curraghfin do it, who are a one off team, you basically have to mirror them, Dick. And I think that is probably my fear going forward. If teams keep sticking into this rigid formation, it drags down the game at all levels, you know, and everything around it.
Yeah, well, look, Brendan, there really is many ways to look at it. And we can get very downhearted about it, and no doubt in Donegal, it seems to be terribly widespread, where teams are just looking in to shut the other at the expense of playing their own game. Now, I will say, like, Marifat, for example, scored 1-4 in the Derry County final yesterday and lost to Stratnail, who scored 11 points. And Stratnail had been really shooting the lights out in previous games against Glen, for example, which was a very highly anticipated game. You know, Shane McGuigan was absolutely on fire, and Glen refused to actually, you know, place a sweeper in front of Shane McGuigan, who's probably the best forward in Derry. And he's become very two-footed over the winter, it would seem. But at the same time, Marifat only hit 1-4. And that's the same Marifat team that won it for the first time ever last year. And in that game, that was against actually the Glen in the final. And there was an awful outpouring of joy and happiness and so on for Marifat, who, while playing a quite a defensive game, it didn't matter because the ends justified the means in that sense. But it wasn't just enough for them yesterday. When Dungannon were playing Trillick, Dungannon certainly had bodies behind the ball and still won. And nobody really particularly cared because the romance took over from the actual function of what was happening on the field. Same for Edirne a wee bit. So, you know, people will only tolerate it so long, and then there has to be a bit more to it. I don't know if we're seeing the same level of turgid tribe that we used to see in 2015, 2016. I don't know what it's like in Donegal because I don't see a great deal of club football up there. But I do hear the like of yourself and Kevin Caskey, for example, and people who I've been speaking to, not all that impressed with it. But I do think, though, when you go along the club league game and Tyrone and Fermanagh and so on, and I've seen a few in Monaghan in recent times, it's fairly open. And I think the clubs, maybe if they are going to go defensive, they reserve that or they hold it back for the championship. It's something they've been trying to work on. But is it still? I don't know if it's fair to say blanket defence and just leave it at that. I think every team plays their own abilities. But if you have great counter attackers such as Ederney had with the McCuskers, and how they were able to carve out the second goal for Ederney in the Fermanagh final last week, it doesn't really matter that you have that arsenal that can actually produce a massive score in a big game, then that'll be enough to get you through.
Yep, great talking to you, Declan. Thanks again for that roundup across Ulster. And my guests, Paul Campbell and Barry Meehan. I want to thank Kenneth and Oisin for producing. So all titles have been handed now out across Donegal GAA, but not the big one, not the Dr. Maguire. Who will get their hands on it and when will the final take place? It's hard to know at this point. All GAA action has been suspended, as we've been talking about. So it's down to next week. Hopefully we'll know some more about the outlay of the championship and when it might take place. And the same for our Donegal footballers, what the future holds for them. So please join me next week on the DL Debate.
The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.